documentary.
It's John Travolta and Robert De Niro in the woods shooting each other with arrows.
What?
Flashy 20.
Wow.
Boom.
This is your eighth 20.
I'm still the only person to ever throw a 20.
And you've thrown eight of them.
It's probably because I bought them.
Do you remember? Have you been keeping track? Is it eight?
It's on the website.
I know, but you happen to remember that he was at seven?
No, I just noticed the new feature on the website. Because I go to our website, theescortmission.com.
Although I put that feature there like like months ago.
I totally noticed it months ago.
My point is, did you
and
remember?
Yet somehow you remembered how many
yeah,
I had.
Did you remember that he was at seven?
I noticed it like 2 weeks ago and saw that Mike was at seven and he just rolled another one. Yeah.
Well, host.
He just knows things. All right. Oh, right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Escort Mission Podcast.
Thank you
for having me. Have to do things.
My name is Michael, and with me, as always, for this podcasting adventure is Charles.
Hello.
And Josh.
Howdy.
This is our 50th podcast.
Whoa, snap.
That's one of those big round numbers that people say that that's cool when you reach it, right?
That's cool.
It's not very round. It's not divisible by four or three.
What is the definition of round, actually? I don't really think
round
about what
is
that
a
means.
Sense. I don't think there's a mathematical definition.
It doesn't really add another digit.
I don't know.
Feel like that's what means roundness? When you go up to, like, you add a factor?
Oh, I just said, like, three. I'd say...
Like, going from 99 to 100 makes a nice round number.
Yeah.
I feel like round just means anything with a zero at the end. Right?
Really?
Yeah, like 30, a nice round number.
I think that's part of it.
Did you just say 3 has a zero at the end?
30.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know, 50. It's like half of 100, which is, you know...
Yeah.
A big thing.
It's a nice round number.
So you agree that 50 is round?
Yeah, I would call it a round number.
I think it's roundish.
It's definitely rounder than 49 or 51.
You think it's rounder than 16?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Drastically.
16 is bullshit.
Yeah.
That's like square. That's a square of a number as you get. Literally.
Divisible by 4 equals round? How do you get that? That equals square.
It's
yeah,
like
mathematically square. That is a mathematically square number.
It's a square...
Which is not round. What definition? Boom. Beaten.
61, a nice triangular number.
It's like 2 to the 4th. It's like...
This number is a rhombus.
I don't know. It's a good number.
Yeah? I'm not saying it's a bad number.
Yeah, I didn't say
I don't really have anything against
number.
16.
I just said it was a nice round number. Because it feels round, like this microphone in front of me. All right, anyway, moving on.
5 is a pretty angular number. If you're talking about the shape, literal shape of writing it,
it's got a big bulbous round part at the bottom. 4 is more angular than 5.
Depends on how you write your 4s.
True.
I suppose our 0th episode would be our roundest episode ever, right? But
that,
we didn't have that.
That is not an episode,
right? That happened. That happened before we thought of the idea. That's when that episode occurred.
We could go back and have an episode 0 like comic books did.
Yeah,
in the
it can be 90s.
our origin story episode.
That would be perfect for this week because Comic-Con is happening.
Issue 0. Oh my God, Comic-Con is driving. I mean, it's like getting to be insane.
Yeah, Charles, since you work downtown, tell us what the mood is around downtown right now.
I mean, it's doing its typical Comic-Con thing of like people walking around in costumes. I was just saying before the show started that someone who works in my office found someone in a Superman outfit in the elevators and just said, hey, come walk through the office. And so, like, Superman walked around the office and just said hello to everybody at random. We're hosting a bunch of Comic-Con parties and whatever.
Did he look like Clark Kent without the glasses?
It was a pretty good Superman. I mean, he was probably, if you're going to nitpick, he was probably too short, but he was beefy and well-built, and he had a good Superman outfit. Probably too good, probably not homemade, or it was... either a really excellent homemade cosplay or a purchased Superman.
Did he have fake muscles?
No, he had
real muscles.
A dude, yeah, he's a beefy dude.
He's a bro,
yeah,
a little broy. Was he stoic?
Or he had excellently faked muscles? I don't know. He looked like a
was he
real
stoic? Because he's got to be stoic, man.
No, he was probably too jovial.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He's like saying hi,
a little too full of himself.
Yeah. That jerk.
Yeah,
he was too nice.
So that's a good start to our news. Let's do some news, Charles. Continue. What other news has been
Sharknado?
Going on with
Sharknado.
Oh my god,
Sharknado.
Did you watch it? I haven't watched it.
I didn't. I didn't. But the sequel has already been greenlit.
Sharkalanche.
Oh, is that what it's
is
called?
It really Sharkalanche?
Sharkano.
No, I think Sharkquake. People get to vote. I think people get to vote on what it is.
Who made Sharknado? Who is responsible?
Sci-fi.
So this is a sci-fi original TV series?
TV movie.
Just a movie.
The
okay.
same people who are responsible for like mega snake versus monster gator. Or whatever,
God, what happened
right?
to sci-fi? Or have they always been that way?
I think it's
it seems
cute.
Like they've scraping the bottom of the barrel a little.
No, it's fun. They're doing it totally tongue-in-cheek and like referencing
good.
All those like B, actually like D movie, you know, action thrillers. It's funny. Ian Ziering like pulls a chainsaw out and chainsaws his way through a shark that jumps at him after being thrown from a tornado. Like,
right. I did see that animated love? GIF of a guy with a chainsaw and a shark.
That's Ian Ziering from
90210. So his career has fucking taken off, is what you're saying.
Totally.
90210 is...
Sharknado is going to be his Pulp Fiction.
Right? Oh, man.
Yeah. It's really ridiculous.
Okay. Any other... news?
News, yeah, there's a bunch of news. There's kind of in sad video game industry news.
Yes.
Ryan
yes.
Davis from Giant Bomb. In really sad news, Mike just spilled his drink on the floor. And in somewhat less sad news, Ryan Davis from Giant Bomb passed away somewhat mysteriously because they haven't released what happened. But you got to assume... In the absence of any other evidence, I'm going to assume it was something like a heart attack because he was not the most... his BMI was probably higher than it could have been. But he was someone that I always loved listening to on the Bombcast. I always liked reading his stuff on Giant Bomb. As much as we joke about that podcast sucking at all times.
We haven't in a while, though.
In order to start some fake feud, you know.
And it'd be really bad form to do it right now,
yeah,
so...
No, he was... He was a really funny guy and will definitely be missed.
What yeah. what was his like? What was his personality like? Because I don't really remember the people.
Just
on
like
there.
Super funny and actually really good at improv.
Oh,
like
okay.
He and Jeff Gerstmann did some amazing, you know, back and forth, off the cuff, improv stuff on yeah. that show. And mm-hmm. you know,
yeah, he's
the
charming.
Video stuff they did on
he's
Giant
great.
Bomb was great. Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
It is a bummer. But I would actually recommend people go listen to the, not the most recent, but one before, that Giant Bombcast is basically everyone from the site just on the show talking about their friend and remembering him. And it's a good listen.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, sad.
Yep.
Got any uplifting news to counterbalance that?
Somebody won the Sikorsky Prize, which is... human-powered
oh,
helicopter.
Yeah, yeah that was
crazy.
Delicious.
It was crazy. So I had been watching this other universe, like probably like MIT or somewhere back east. They had been like closing in on it and releasing videos of their attempts. And these machines look unbelievable. They're huge.
Very Da Vinci-esque.
Yeah, they're really gigantic. Both of the ones that I saw, the one from back east that was were like getting closer and closer, and then the team that won were from Vancouver, I believe. They're both of the ones that I saw were powered by bicycles, and they were quad rotor devices. So they had, or I guess that's octo rotor. I don't know. They had two blade helicopter blades that were all hooked up with you know various cable systems and geared down via you know all these different cablings and wheels and however it's tied together to fly a human powered helicopter from a dude on a bicycle and
but
I
they
guess
had to do it for a certain amount of time and a certain distance
to win
off
the prize
ground, right?
They had to be like I think it was like 10 feet off the ground and 60 seconds in the air something like that
and within like a 60 foot or meter radius
yeah it couldn't yeah. drift.
And you mentioned that someone had almost beaten it, but they went outside of the boundaries.
Oh,
or
is
something.
That why? I didn't know why they had.
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was.
I just thought they were getting closer and closer to the time limit.
Yeah, somebody got close but drifted.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So what do they win? Like, what happens
now? I think
now?
It's $250,000.
Yeah, it was money.
It's like an X Prize kind of thing. All so right. Sikorsky is one of the... It was like Ivan Sikorsky or something. He's like a Russian guy who was like the godfather of the helicopter. And that company still operates and makes... They're like Boeing for helicopters. They're in Ohio, I believe. They are... Anyway, it's incredible. Definitely go watch the YouTube video because it's unbelievable how slowly the rotors turn. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so used to seeing a helicopter flying around with this, you know, a rotor that's so fast it's a blur. Even this fan is a blur that we're looking at on the ceiling here, right? The rotors move incredibly slowly, and yet they're generating enough lift to lift this gigantic contraption, which is probably 40 feet across or something.
Well, they're enormous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you take a blade that's, I don't know, 20 feet across, and you spin it at, like, one rotation every,
six seconds
or something, I mean, the blade is probably moving faster than this fan at the ceiling right here, at the tip, you know? It just... When you look at the center of the blade, it doesn't look like it's rotating very quickly.
It looks amazing.
The thing I was impressed most by is how enormous the structure is and how light it must be.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically just being held together with like fishing line and and the backbone of it is probably like straws or something. you know they're probably like tubes.
It's probably like aluminum
really
or something
thin
like,
material. You know.
It's really cool.
Very cool.
That
was uplifting. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, good. What else? Newsy. Video game news. Evo happened. Did you guys watch any of Evo?
Mm-hmm. No.
I watched a reasonable amount of Evo.
Well, what is that first?
So Evo is the biggest fighting game tournament of the year.
What does that stand for?
It's just like Evolution 2013.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Things I noticed once again are that the fighting game community is pretty broed out.
They are the most evolved, though.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, because they're the ones that had the controversy in the past, right?
Yeah, they did. Like, and sexism. I think they've done a lot of work. I think they're very aware of it. And so this year they were doing a lot to make it seem like pretty inclusive and everybody was putting a good face on it. They had these little interstitial videos talking about like sportsmanship and you know, honorable whatever.
Don't
it's
be
fun
a
to watch. That stuff is fun to watch, particularly the games where you kind of have a sense of what's going on. Like, I tried to watch some Marvel versus Capcom, and that's impossible to figure out. Like, you can't tell what's happening on the screen. Like, that game is built on like 90 hit combos and fucking, you know, gigantic,
and like in the air.
Like, you're calling. You have a 3-member team, and you're calling in other members at times to do combo attacks. And you have like major, huge bars of fire. Like Doctor Doom fires 40 missiles, and then Wolverine does a clawing attack, and you can't follow it at all. However, the other games, you know, Street Fighter or something. Some of these games that you have a sense of what's happening. It's really cool to watch get played at a high level. You know, it's a total chess match. It's just like guessing what the other player is going to do. Like, what do I know about this person? How do I think that they're going to play this character against me? You know, those kind of, he's going to do this, but I know he's going to do that. So he's going to do something else. So I got to do something else, but he knows that I'm going to know that. And just going back and forth. It's nuts. Really cool.
Basically rock, paper, scissors is what you're saying.
But it's like 40 levels
very
of
high level
paper, scissors.
Rock,
yeah.
Paper, scissors.
Yeah. There's an excellent match. What are these? Is PR Balrog versus Infiltration in Street Fighter, whatever the latest Street Fighter is at Evo. I'll link that one. That was a cool match. It was like this, you know, an American who is pretty good, like a top 8 guy, sent the like definitely the best guy in the world into the loser's bracket in that round. And wow. So it was like a big match and everybody flipped out and it was
is there a definite like in StarCraft where Korea always comes out on top, is EVO like that or EVO like that at all?
So that Infiltration guy is Korean, but like the best guy is Daigo, who's the one you've probably seen that video of him like doing that crazy counter block from, Evo like 10 years ago where he like blocks 12 times in a row or something like that. On he blocks an entire super combo or something.
Right.
So it's like that guy is the guy. And then there's this other guy, Infiltration, who's considered to be like the next the guy and beat Daigo and whatever. I mean, there's a whole crazy, like all these storylines to it, which I think would be really fun to follow if you knew all that stuff. But it's also cool just to watch a match here and there.
The only clip from Evo I watched was when the makers of Killer Instinct or something like that were talking in front of a crowd, talking about their game.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they said the word Xbox One, like they just got boos. Just the whole crowd was just boo. Like they didn't, their reaction was so weird. Like they were like, like it was pretty mean. These are like the developers of the game or something. Right. And
like, so no one's gonna buy our game, man, I guess. The Killer Instinct.
I mean, they were like cheering the game, but trying to boo the console simultaneously. Yeah. Just to display their anger at Microsoft, I guess.
I'm guessing that's Killer Instinct is not a game that gets played at Evo.
No. Yeah. Although Smash Brothers Melee still gets played.
Yeah, that's, people get competitive about that
game.
It's
like a 12-year-old game. And like Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo still gets played.
Oh, nice.
Because that's considered like...
Wait, Turbo Hyper Fighting Edition?
What? Oh, I don't know. Probably. Jesus. I mean...
5,000 Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus Robot. I wanted to ask you, like, do you like it more or less, or just different than, like, StarCraft? Because I know it's another game competition you like watching.
I definitely watch a lot more StarCraft. I only watch Evo when it's, like, fighting games when Evo is happening, which is once a year. Yeah. And it's more along the lines of, like, yeah, when the Olympics comes on, I will watch people do the triple jump because they're at the fucking top of their game on the triple jump.
Right.
But I wouldn't watch, like, random, you know, 2 years away from the Olympics triple jump qualifications, right, from some track and field event. So,
it's a damn shame we don't, though.
So is that just because StarCraft is inherently, like, way more interesting on a base level than a fighting game? I know it's more complicated.
Fighting game is more immediately interesting because it's like, oh, that guy punched that guy.
Right.
I think the fighting game is actually harder to follow because without watching a ton of it and being really good, it's kind of hard to tell what's happening and like
you'd
why
have to
something
watch it
was
in
good.
Slow-mo.
Why something was good.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, the speed of it is obviously...
Without knowing that, like, oh, he threw that punch because he knew that the other guy was going to throw a kick and he knew that his punch was going to take priority even though it would do less damage and so his attack would hit, right? It's just knowing, without knowing all of that stuff, it's a little bit... I think it's fun to watch just in terms of, like, how different they play to how I would play a fighting game or how I do. Like, when we play fighting games, we all just, like... jump in and dive kick every time, right? Like that's all.
Oh, wait,
we ever
that's
do.
Not how you win,
dude. Dive kick comes out like
dive
next
kick.
Week.
Yeah, they had a dive kick tournament.
That's
either.
Right, the dive kick game.
It's not. It's not free. It's like fucking $10.
But
something.
Dive kick is like being embraced by that community because like
no, it looks rad
in a bizarre way. So for people who don't know, dive kick is this game by Iron Galaxies,
well known game makers.
The only move. It's a full-on fighting game with like 10 characters, but the only move that you can do is the dive kick.
Really?
So all you can do
is only move.
Two buttons. It has jump and dive kick. Those are the buttons.
I thought the two buttons were dive and kick.
Oh yeah, that's what they are. They're dive and kick. So dive jumps you in the air and kick makes you kick.
Like one of the moves is effectively kind of a jump.
Yeah.
And the other one is kind of like a downward.
Wait, and there's really no other strategy kick. Besides that?
So, but that's
it can't
the
be
whole
that
point.
Shallow. It can't be that shallow.
There are supers, and there's like a super system. There's no combos. It's a one-hit kill every match.
It's a one-hit kill? Yeah.
Yeah. You dive kick someone, you fucking kill them.
Oh, my God.
But what apparently has happened is that what that does, by being so ultra simple, it distills everything that we never do. In a fighting game, right? Which is just like walk
retreat.
Forward. Walk forward, right?
Right.
When we play fighting games, we never just walk forward because we're like, oh, I'm super vulnerable. I either need to be turtling or I need to be jumping at somebody or I need to be throwing a fireball or doing a, you know, a Shoryuken. You can. We're always doing a special move every time, right? Just like walking forward and doing a low standing fierce. Like We never do that. And so Dive Kick is all about like the mind game part of it, which is a huge part of what fighting games are. So weirdly, the fighting game community has really embraced it.
So those matches could literally just consist 99% of them like moving back and forth, stalking, and then one kick at the end?
No, I watched a dive kick.
Or just never do it at all?
I watched a dive kick game timeout. I watched them reach the end of a timer by doing a bunch of feints and like attacks it didn't hit and dodges, and like then it timed out and it was a tie.
Wow.
Like the 90-second timer happened.
Dive kick.
Dive kick.
Dive kick.
That's bomb.
Yep.
Okay. Any other news you want to bring up?
There was one other video game news thing, which was a thing. Oh, yeah. Rimmed Caspel, which is that Tetris
capsule.
Caspel.
Rimmed capsule, I think.
Caspel. Rimmed capsule.
As in like a capsule that you put something in.
K-A-S-P-E-L.
No, it's got a P first.
I'm pretty sure it's capsule.
K-A-S-P-E-L.
Pretty sure it's K-A-P-S-E-L. It's got a P first.
P-A-S-K-A-S.
The P goes before the S. Capsule.
It's definitely capsule. I just looked it up.
Okay. Anyway, that game comes out 7/25, so in a few days, on iOS and Android, so that'll be cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm interested in actually checking it out.
And then...
FTL, get your shit together.
Was there something else? I think that's it. Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
Video games? Other video
Josh?
Game news? Or
I don't really have
news.
News.
All right.
The Penny Arcade DLC Kickstarter ended, and I got my little rubber USB drive. I'm a fan.
It has things on it. It is not empty.
Yeah, it's
they
good.
They didn't school you.
It's a good podcast.
It is an excellent podcast, yeah.
You know, besides being
shit. I have still never listened to it, so I should check that out.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to check it out 2 weeks later than Josh, because Josh will get everything.
So I've already been listening for like a month.
So there's nothing available currently to listen to?
I think every episode comes out 2 weeks prior to general availability for people who kickstarted.
But and there wasn't an archive of podcasts?
Yeah, there's a season one, which you can go listen to right now.
Okay, all right, yeah.
But it's particularly relevant to listen to them immediately after seeing the comic.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like their TV show, except audio only. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Deus Ex, The Fall.
I'm actually downloading an update to it right now.
What? You bought that?
Yeah.
Is it good? Tell us about
it. I haven't checked it out yet. I haven't checked it out yet, so I can't tell you.
Right. Just the only reason I bring
literally
it up
haven't had time
is because they, in terms of newsy stuff, they I have no idea what the game is or if it's good or not, but they... Yeah.
I'll illuminate next week.
They break the game. You are not able to fire guns in the game if your iOS device is jailbroken.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can go through the whole...
That would actually be pretty interesting. It's kind of like forced...
No, you handicap. Can't. You can't get through because
really?
It's the last bit of the tutorial. You have to kill some dudes to get out and get into the real game. And it's like, oh, you have no triggers because you're on a jailbroken device, which... is clearly an anti-piracy measure, except for the fact that jailbreaking your legally purchased iPhone is legal.
Right.
And
there's an easy workaround that someone's already put online.
Oh, there is?
Yeah. You can already get around it.
And
by hacking their game, right? But
well, by downloading a program onto your phone that gets around it.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
So it didn't actually do anything except be an annoyance.
Right, exactly.
Right. It was an annoyance. It didn't actually
do what
stop
they
piracy.
To do. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like...
No,
most
mostly
DRM.
Just inconvenienced legitimate purchasers.
Right, and gave it bad press.
But I heard that they were fixing it. Like, Mike might already be downloading the patch that corrects it. Because it sounded like, because it got so much negative press immediately,
yes,
they
fixed,
backtracked.
Removed the restriction on firing. So nice. they've already doubled
that. Well, there you go.
Yep.
There you go.
Which affected certain devices, is how they put it.
Right.
Awesome.
Certain jailbroken devices, you hackers.
Well, I wonder, like, I feel like this can't be the first time a developer has done this. It just wasn't on as major a project. Maybe it was like some super indie one that did it. It just didn't get press. It seems unlikely that no one has ever tried to do that before.
It's just that it was, well,
it's a major high profile project.
That's
is
reasonable.
Why it got
and it's
news.
That they did it in such a kind of fuck you type
right.
of way.
They
right?
put
like,
a dialogue box
you can't
up
fire guns. Yeah. Ha ha ha.
There have been apps that did it before. I think Final Fantasies got in trouble before for not running on rooted iOS devices, and they got negative flack in game blogs.
Hmm.
They didn't do such like a you can't shoot. They just on launch it was like no.
Like the game wouldn't run at all?
Yeah. You mean?
Oh, okay. That seems way worse than just not being able to fire.
No, that's better.
It's more effective.
It's less of a fuck you.
It's less of a fuck you.
Yeah. It's less of a fuck you than letting you play a little of the game.
Yes, because you know, like in
you
one
know immediately,
sec- you, yeah. you know in one nah. second it doesn't work, and then
I guess
then you're like, yeah. oh, okay, I'm gonna go hack this, or okay, I'm gonna go pay for this.
Okay,
as opposed to like
stringing you along and then pulling yeah. the rug out from under
especially
you.
Especially if you're somebody who legally jailbroke your iPhone and legally paid for their game.
Right.
That's a definite fuck you at that point. Like, yeah. look, everything I've done here is totally above board, and I played your game for 10 minutes and got through the tutorial, and now, like, I can't go any farther.
Right.
I'd be pretty pissed. I don't know. And I did have a legally broken jailbroken iOS device for quite some time, so...
And you can just go back to normal, too. I mean, you could go back to normal to play it long enough and then delete it.
But not if you have a specific need for features that you can only get to by jailbreaking.
Which you don't need while you're playing the game, necessarily.
Well, you can't go back and forth between jailbroken and not.
You can't?
No.
So it's a
huge hassle?
You can't
just hit a button and be not jailbroken anymore. You either are or you aren't.
Okay.
You're rooting the device.
Right. I've never done it before, but I mean, you can go back to non-jailbroken, right? It's not a one-way street.
Yeah, you can reflash your whole device.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Like factory
reset. I guess I thought by now it was they made that super simple, but I guess not. Okay.
On Android, it varies by device. There are some apps that can like temporarily unroot or can like... Yeah, there's all kinds of weird hacks in both directions.
Yeah.
So, any other news going on, or should we jump into some media?
No, I have a bunch of fucking games and music.
The only other thing
movies and TV
we could mention is lingscars.com.
Oh, my God.
As a meme of the week.
Meme of
as
the
in
week.
The best website ever.
Although I much prefer m.lingscars.com. Yeah.
This is
oh my
the
God.
Fact that he made a mobile version.
He or she?
Nice. Looked like a
I
dude
thought
to
it
me.
Was a she.
It looked like a dude to me.
I thought it was a dude. I don't know.
I don't know.
I always thought Ling was... No, no, sorry.
Anyway.
I don't know.
I don't know. This is a website that probably has to be incredibly bad on purpose, but is still incredibly bad. It's like super flashy and ridiculous. And
how did you find it?
It was just being sent
you
around
for
my
a new car
company.
And you he came up on
yeah.
the search result.
It was sent around my company and they were I'm pretty sure it's a I have to look it up. I think it's a woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Sent around my company as like, ha, check out this incredibly bad website. But it's probably really bad on purpose and
it's probably really effective.
It's Mike actually found
because it's fucking amazing.
A site that kind of, you know,
it was
stripping
like a
away
serious
the fluff.
Analysis of
what
the
are
site.
They actually doing on
yeah,
the site?
It was,
and, yeah,
it was pretty amazing. Well, that's the thing is, you can be bad. Well, being bad is not newsworthy. Being incredibly bad that you get sent around and you're viral on the internet, that's worth doing.
Yeah,
it's either worth being incredibly good or incredibly bad. You got to be an extreme. And if you're
13th worst website on the internet, you get no traffic.
Right,
but
right.
if you're the worst website,
right.
you will definitely get traffic.
I wonder if it really is the worst. I mean, I've seen some bad websites and it's up there, but
Ling Valentine, female Chinese immigrant in the UK.
Wow.
It is a woman.
That
all right.
Okay, moving on.
Anyway, go check it out because it's ridiculous. Ling Vader. Like, there's so many good parts.
Oh,
the
and
planets, the planets orbiting around
and
red,
and the picture of his face made up of smaller pictures of his face.
Her face.
Or her face, sorry. and that random woman at the top singing karaoke for no apparent reason to a song that
yeah,
has nothing to do
with anything. Yeah, plays audio right when you start the website. Like, breaks every rule of good web design.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. All right, Josh. Ready, set, go.
I only saw like media. Two movies and like
what?
Yeah, crazy, right?
Have you finally like decided to?
No, I've just seen basically everything.
Okay, all right.
There are no other.
You've
movies.
Run out of things to watch that are out there.
Well, there's like one or two theaters that are kind of a hassle to go to that show some weird stuff. But anyway, I saw Kevin Hart, let me explain.
He's the comedian.
Is this a comedy film?
He's a stand-up guy?
Yes.
It's like a concert film.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I read a review of that. They were... Anyway, go ahead.
So the first 10 minutes are like him at a backstage type of... Or like a party that he hosted. And then he's like, I gotta explain myself. And then he goes to... not Central Park. What's the big venue in New York? Madison Square Garden. So he goes to Madison Square Garden, and then the stand-up set starts or whatever. And then it's just a stand-up set, and that's the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was really, really prepared to not like this at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I only not liked it, like, quite a bit. Like, it was
glowing praise.
Yeah. It was only... It was kind of funny here and there.
That was a backhanded compliment, right?
That's what that was? It actually, I actually give it a 3 because it was entertaining enough. Like, it was funny here and there. Although I had some pretty major problems with it. Like, a huge percentage of it was just him making just, like, inappropriate jokes I didn't think were funny about. Like, he's basically...
See, black people are like this, and white people are like that.
It's weird because...
And what's the deal with airlines?
It's weird because he, like, for a huge amount of it, he is the complete opposite of self-deprecating humor. It's like self-inflating, self-aggrandizing humor, right? Like the whole intro and stuff.
If 50 Cent were a
stand-up
comic, he's
absurdly full of himself. Like even the credits at the beginning, it's just like Kevin Hart, produced by Kevin Hart, written by Kevin Hart, starring Kevin Hart,
Kevin
Productions,
Kevin Hart,
Heartbeat Productions, like 5 times. Like,
but obviously tongue in cheek.
No, completely legitimate. And then
he's Kanye.
And then he's like wearing like gold chains and he's got flames on stage. But then he starts laughing at the flames and saying, I just have flames because Kanye has flames. So then it somehow transitions into self-deprecating humor.
Right.
Like he makes
is he at least trying to be self-deprecating, but isn't actually, you can kind of tell he's not actually.
No, he is pretty self-deprecating eventually. It's just like, it's the weird transition, like he's simultaneously being self-aggrandizing and self, anyway, it was all right, whatever. Moving on. Killing Season. Okay.
I have not even heard of this.
No one's heard of this.
It sounds like a pacifism documentary.
It's John Travolta and Robert De Niro.
What?
In the woods shooting each other with arrows.
What? Nobody's heard. How has nobody heard of that? It sounds like it should be gigantic.
It's the dumbest B movie. It's
what?
Like,
it's a B movie?
It's playing in one theater in the city, even though it came out last
weekend.
Is it not
a comedy or is it?
No,
it's
a bad John Travolta drama.
With Robert De Niro?
With Robert De Niro.
So basically this is a movie that was so bad that they kept it on the shelf forever and then released it under the radar.
Yeah. I don't know if they kept it on the shelf for a while. Like, I think it might be straight to video too.
Wow.
Like, I think you can rent it on...
What theater did you even see it?
I think you can rent it on iTunes now.
Did you see it in that weird theater?
No, I saw it in Mission Valley. It's just got no press. But we went on like Monday night and there were like 3 people in the theater. It was great.
And 2 of them were Robert De Niro
and
John Travolta.
Well, 4 of them were us. I went with that guy, convinced people to go. And it was awesome. We had a lot of fun.
So it was so bad, it was good.
Well, it was, it was pretty darn bad, but we had a lot of fun. So, I mean, I can't really give it anything better than a 2. Although
fun.
I could kind of give it a 3 based
on... Give an ironic 3.
Based on fun, yeah, so...
It was like a 4 experience, but only a 2 movie.
No one's ever going to see this, okay? So I just have to ruin some things for you. Ready? Spoilers for... what this fucking movie's
Killing
called
season.
Already. Killing Season. All right, there's this part...
That's a dumb title.
It's rabbit season. It's killing season. It's rabbit season. It's killing season.
Oh my God. Oh my God. De Niro like injures one leg and then the other like so badly and he's still stumbling along walking the whole time. It's unbelievable. It doesn't make any sense. He shoots an arrow at Travolta while he's like drinking a bottle of wine. The arrow goes through his face. It goes in one cheek and out the other cheek. And, like, pins him to the wall.
Was there like a cartoonish boing, 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 boing when it happened or something?
And then conveniently, because the way they transition is like someone for some reason passes out. So then like Travolta passes out and Pacino has him tied up on a table.
You mean De Niro.
Sorry. De Niro.
I hope.
Yeah. De Niro ties him up on a table and he's got these two like starburst scars on his cheeks for the rest of the movie, but otherwise he's fine. Like it just goes on and on.
What's the setup? Why are they doing this? Like what justification is there for this? Does the movie start with them doing this and you're just supposed to accept it, or is it a gentleman's bet? I mean, what?
De Niro shot Travolta in like the Serbian Bosnian war in the early 90s.
Yeah.
So he's getting back at him for basically executing him.
Oh.
He somehow lived and
unsuccessfully executed me, and now I'm going to pin you to the wall.
I'm going to execute you to death.
Yes, he somehow survived his own execution and then hunted him down for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Awesome. Wow.
That's awesome. Just fantastic.
It's so bad. It's amazing.
You really that was the last movie?
Yeah, that's all.
Okay,
because
I'm like, you can't follow that up with anything.
I saw almost nothing. Yeah. Okay, I was gonna see. Pacific
I saw a movie.
Rim,
all right, what did you see, Jazz?
Well, I tried to see. What's that movie?
Pac
Pacific Rim.
Rim.
Yes, yeah. I tried to see Pacific Rim.
So you saw something instead?
Yes, I did.
Ready?
Because memory said it was sold out.
Right? I attempted to see Pacific Rim Sunday night, 7:45, sold out. I was not expecting that. So we got there like 20 minutes early, mm-hmm. and yeah, it was sold out. Anyway. Opening weekend, but I thought Sunday would be good. So instead, we saw White House Down, and that movie. Basically, everything Josh said about it is right. It's really dumb. Like it's either the best writing you could possibly imagine for Channing Tatum, or really bad writing. Like that movie is. I think it's probably just bad writing, but there's at least the argument to be made that it's incredibly visionary writing. And that Channing Tatum is doing an amazing acting job as kind of a dumb guy DC police officer.
Yeah.
Like, he's either portraying that character with such soul and verve that it's completely valid, or he's just a dumb idiot playing that.
It's really tough to tell,
like,
right?
It's really tough to tell whether
I think
or not.
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he just did an amazing job.
I have not seen anything else with him in it, I can't tell.
And I think it's brilliant writing. Like
it could be brilliant writing and an amazing performance.
I think it's really dumb
or
on purpose.
It could be pretty shitty writing with a bad
like
acting
Killing
job,
Season,
and you can't tell.
Like Killing Season, unfortunately, as bad as the whole premise is, it unfortunately feels like it's trying the whole time. Like they thought they were making a sweet blockbuster action movie, I think, but it just failed terribly. But White House Down, I think they succeeded at exactly what they were trying to do.
Yes,
like it's like we're gonna have a dumb ass diehard like take the White House hostage movie, and that's what it is.
They blow up the White House in lots of interesting and enjoyable ways. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Nice.
There's a bunch of TV.
There is a bunch of TV. Yeah.
Orange is the New Black premiered on Netflix last week, right?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's the next Netflix original.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the creator of Weeds. It has a very similar tone.
Was Weeds good? I never watched it.
Weeds was good. I watched the first two seasons until it kind of went off the rails a little bit.
Yes, I agree. Weeds is quite good, but like a lot of good shows, I don't think they need like five American seasons.
Yeah.
I think two is like 20 episodes of Weeds is good enough.
You get the gist and you get an arc, you know, but then they have to start inventing crazier and crazier arcs to keep the show going, which they did. So what did you think of it? I've just watched the first episode, so that's all I know.
I'm about four in, and I think it's great. I really like it. For some reason, the first 5 minutes of the first episode seem really out of place. Like, the beginning is just like, what? Okay. They needed to check off, like pointless nudity. Like,
what's the premise?
Oh, no, that was not pointless. That was very necessary.
I don't know.
If you've seen it, you know. Anyway, I know what you mean. It was like shocking.
The premise is white collar woman going to jail or to prison.
To women's prison.
To women's prison okay. for a while, like Martha Stewart-esque, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. not a celebrity. Mm-hmm. And then just...
So like Oz with Women?
Not as absurdly dark.
Mm-hmm. They specifically name-checked that show.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. It's, you know, a bit more lighthearted, but also, but a little bit dark. It's dark humor.
Okay.
You know. Cool. But it is a hybrid drama comedy, and it's like an hour long, not a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I think it's really well executed. I think most of the acting is great.
Agreed.
Most of the characters are great.
Yeah, like right away, you want to know more about these people. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Like no names, or are they people we've heard of?
Oh, geez. I think they're almost all no names. Except Jason Biggs.
Oh, Jason Biggs.
He's not a central character,
necessarily. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
He's kind of a central character.
But not, yeah. He is and isn't. He's not the focus, I guess. But yeah, everybody else is pretty much, I've never seen them, but they're all like instantly...
They're great.
...interesting, which is kind of amazing. Well, and Laura Prepon from That 70s Show, isn't it? She's kind of a big
name. Oh, that's true.
Prepon, whatever. No, I thought it was really cool. I was actually trying to sell my coworker on it because he was kind of giving me... It was interesting. It brought up that conversation that Josh brought up last show, I think when you were talking about the Bling Ring and your kind of rule about whether you can get into a show or not, and if no one is likable and everybody's detestable, you can't get into it. And my coworker sort of had that initial preliminary feeling about it just because of the subject matter. He was kind of turned off and didn't really even want to give it a chance. And I told him that, you know, it's, you know, I understand there's a lot of shows now that kind of do that, like your Sopranos and Breaking Bad and Mad Men, where it's a lot of detestable characters. It's hard to get behind anybody. But thankfully, the main character is very easy to get behind immediately. And so I think I sold him on it just because of that. But
yeah. So Charles, Mike has been having that issue that I've had with Sopranos right now. We started watching Sopranos. Mm-hmm. We're like 3 episodes in. Mm-hmm. Speak for yourself, but the characters are kind of difficult to relate to, because they're all criminals, basically.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep at it. I feel like my instinct is like saying no, none of these people are worth your time, but my intellect is saying no, this is a highly acclaimed show. You got to give it a chance, and you'll grow to appreciate the characters above and beyond their detestableness. But, you know, I think another thing is just because it's like the template for a lot of these shows. I mean, I feel like it shows its age just a little bit because it was like the first to really become popular.
And you're watching the very first season.
Yeah. And I mean, it took place in 1999, so it's 14 years old already. And there's been so many shows that have kind of are cribbing the crap out of the show.
And have refined it.
And I've seen them all. So maybe that's why I'm finding it harder to get into, but. It's still, I mean, it's definitely a good show and worth watching. But
yeah, I've seen, I watched all of Sopranos.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. It wasn't my favorite. I think I liked, of the ones of that era, it was like the three that came out at that time were like Sopranos. There's like the three Davids, right? It was, I don't remember each of the Davids, but it was like the showrunners for Sopranos, The Wire, and Deadwood are all named David. And I think Deadwood and The Wire are both better than Sopranos.
Isn't The Wire and The Sopranos the same David, Chase?
I
think he did both of them, yeah.
Really?
I think so.
I thought there were three different...
I think didn't The Wire come out after? Or maybe at the same time or something? I don't know, I could be wrong. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Cool.
So I just want to actually get out the fact that I read a book. Because this is monumental for me. I finished Robopocalypse.
Applause.
It was very good. As I was reading it, and as after I read some of the reviews of it, like it definitely felt like it was getting ready to be a movie. It was like I could see this. Like, why isn't this a movie?
Yeah.
And then I read in the wiki that they were going to make a movie out of it, and then they canceled it.
Huh.
So
like somebody optioned it.
Yeah. Like it. There were names attached, and I think a script was starting to be written, and then it just got postponed indefinitely, like in January of this year. Like, I don't know about you, but it was incredibly visual from the first chapter. Yeah, yeah, like I wanted to see the movie version of it. So anyway, it was really good, and I definitely want to read Amped now.
I thought the description of it as World War R was pretty apt. That was
I like the way cute, it was told.
Cute one-liner about it.
I thought it was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Did you read your book, Amped, at all?
I read like the first chapter.
Okay. Because I definitely want to read that now.
Yeah. All right. I'll finish.
Cool.
Luther started back up.
Oh, shit.
Season 3.
Dope. Season 3. So psyched.
Now,
apparently, I got to watch the show.
That show is good.
I have to mention, first two seasons are on Netflix. It's 6 episodes and then 4.
Yeah.
So there's only 10, and they're making 4 more for season 3, and 3 of them are done already.
Available to watch or just finished filming?
They're up.
Awesome.
This is what I have to mention. In England, on BBC or whatever, they started on July 2nd.
Uh-huh.
And they're not scheduled to legitimately air in America on like BBC America or
until
whatever.
Until 2015.
Until September 3rd.
Ugh.
Right? So.
What the fuck?
But you can do the BBC on their website thing?
2 months.
You can do that if you do Expat Shield.
Right. Which
you
should.
Yeah, if you live in England.
Or you do Expat Shield.
I don't know why TV companies are still so dumb.
It's fucking baffling.
They're living in a pre-internet age. Like, it's fucking 2013.
They have to ship the episodes to America, dude.
We're so many years past when this was inexcusable.
Yeah, it's
like
ridiculous.
They literally don't want American watchers.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, I'm a fan of the show. I heard it's back on. I look at the dates. I'm like, it's on TV right now, but not here. I'm watching it. Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
There's no other option.
It's ridiculous. When Doctor Who came out, BBC made a big deal about like, this time we heard you and we are going to put the episodes out so much sooner than, but not still at the same time as we air them in the UK. It was a week later.
How could they not get their shit together and just like figure out a date that works in both countries?
In the era of BitTorrent, a week later is 10 years later, everyone is going to BitTorrent that shit. Don't be ridiculous. When you have fans that are that rabid, like, it's baffling.
I mean, have they ever given, like, their reasoning for it? They must have some reasoning, even if it's stupid.
Well, the original production company, like licenses it or whatever on the channel that they're going
to
air it on, and
they have to work out some other
deal. I'm sure they just fit it in their schedule for there. And then after that, they work on selling the rights to some network and in other countries. Mm-hmm. And those countries schedule it whenever they find it convenient. It's not a priority for them. And then they don't work together worldwide. It's not like one company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like BBC and BBC America are pretty different.
Anyway,
lame.
I watched the first two and they're fucking phenomenal.
Awesome.
It's like better than ever.
That show's great.
Love Mr. Vandross.
You mentioned Mad Men briefly.
I did.
Mad Men finished up, although I guess it finished up a while back.
It finished up like a month or
3 weeks
two
ago or something
like that. Yeah.
So we were a little bit behind, but finally finished it.
Yeah.
Did you watch that season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I watched it as it happened.
I think it was good. Somebody told me that they thought that the last episode was a good series finale, but they didn't like it as a season finale, which was interesting. That was kind of an interesting viewpoint.
I could go either way on that. Yeah,
it was good.
I thought it was good. I thought it did what it needed to.
It was like an interesting and weirdly hopeful note.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's that kind of show would do that kind of thing. I think if they did that kind of thing on any other show, it wouldn't have worked.
We're talking about the end of season 5.
No, is it 7 right now?
I think it's
6.
I think it's 6.
It's the second to last season.
Whatever the one that just finished like a month ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember which season it was.
Oh, I definitely didn't watch that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's why we're not giving details, because I know you're like a season
behind. I finished the one before that.
Okay,
yeah. Cool. I had marathoned it like a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So yeah, that's good. That show remains good. I watched a few good web series. So first of all, actually, this is not a series. I don't know if I linked you this. Did I link you the Josh Groban, Kanye West thing?
No.
We are definitely watching this after the show. It's fucking hilarious. Josh Groban did a sketch on the Jimmy Kimmel show, which is Josh Groban singing Kanye West tweets. It's exquisite. It's definitely worth
His
watching.
His Twitter account is a goldmine. Definitely.
Oh, yes. And Josh
sung
Groban
or not sung,
singing the shit out of each one of those is amazing. So that's great. I watched the Drunk History.
When I wake up on an airplane and there's like a water bottle there. Damn, now I got to be responsible for that shit. That's one of his tweets. It's great.
I could quote 1,000 of them from that sketch, but I don't want to. I want people to experience them by seeing it.
There's a teaser.
They're unbelievable.
Okay, I'm briefly mixing up Kanye and Jay-Z, but I have to mention
so racist
that like Jay-Z's. We were talking briefly about Jay-Z's album that recently released,
mm-hmm. which is called
Magna Carta Holy Grail,
fucking shitballs, bitch.
And
extra special better than you.
And
I'm rich, dog.
The the unbridled pretentiousness of that title bothers me, at least.
I think it sickens you.
At least a little bit.
I feel a little surly about it.
And I believe, Charles, you implied that there was intended irony.
No, I didn't imply it. I said, I posed the question. Do we think that
by posing
it's
that
so over the top that...
By posing that question, are you implying that you think there is intended irony?
I'm wondering whether it is possible that it's that over the top and yet he's still unaware of how pretentious and ridiculous it sounds like.
I think that's the only possibility. I can't fathom that is intentional.
That there's any sense of like, I'm calling it this because it is so ridiculous.
I get no impression.
I haven't listened to the album.
Okay. Anyway, just checking.
Yeah.
Have you listened to the album at all, Josh?
No.
Are you going to?
Probably not.
Well, at least until it's remixed with Chrono Trigger tunes again.
Yeah.
Chrono
Jigga
2. Do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I might give that a try. He's a big fan, so he might do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Drunk History was a Funny or Die sketch and now is a Comedy Central show.
I watched one of these recently. A mm-hmm. friend tried to sell me on it.
Uh-huh. Did you watch the Funny or Die one or the Comedy Central one?
I watched a random YouTube one.
Okay.
It was,
I thought it was an Onion thing.
No, it was Funny or Die.
Oh.
Jack Black and somebody were acting out.
Yeah. So it's basically comedians get fucking shit-faced, like as drunk as you've ever been, and then relate through their stupor and haze a scene from history. So John Wilkes Booth shooting Abraham Lincoln, right? Or Woodward and Bernstein exposing Nixon at Watergate. So an incredibly drunk guy narrates, guy or girl, attempts to describe this. And then, so that's the only audio.
Are they just sitting and
they're just
saying,
in a chair,
like a monologue?
They're just in a chair, like talking in their house or whatever.
Okay, all
right. Right?
Getting interviewed.
So they're not actually acting it out. They're just
periodically,
then,
periodically
so that's the
taking
audio,
breaks to vomit.
That's the audio that gets recorded.
Yeah.
And then very famous people like Don Cheadle and Jack Black and who's the SNL guy? Whatever. Just a bunch of famous comics.
The SNL guy.
A bunch of those dudes act out the scenes, except they basically lip dub the drunk guy speaking. So John Wilkes Booth is acting out, you know, he and Lincoln are there and he's about to shoot him, but he's speaking the mm-hmm. incredibly drunk person's words and voice and like lip dubbing all their ums and uhs and buts and, you know, vomit noises and
so it
hiccups.
Sounds good in concept.
It's
but is it
really,
just a mess?
It's pretty good on the YouTube version. I feel like it lost something with the higher production value of the Comedy Central show.
It sounds like a great YouTube series kind of a
thing.
I think
it was better as like a 10 minutes once every 2 months you watch one as opposed to like watching three mashed together into a whole show. But it's kind of funny. It's a good premise.
Okay.
It's maybe better as a premise than a whole show.
Or you just kind of, a one-off. Sounds like a good one-off.
Sounds like you felt the same way, Josh.
I only saw half of one or most of one, and I was not sold. But I didn't recognize the guy. Like, if you're saying they're typically famous comedians,
yeah, like Sarah
doing
Silverman
it,
has done one.
That sounds like it'd be really good. So the one I watched was some guy I didn't know, mm-hmm. and I didn't particularly like it. But yeah, I'll watch Sarah Silverman's or something. That sounds funny.
Yep. Another web series I just saw is called Conversations with My 2-Year-Old. This is a bunch of like, this is, oh, did you see this?
I've seen, I didn't watch one, but I know of it.
Okay, yeah, it's cute. It's
it's like acting out a conversation he has recently had with
his
those kid.
Are great.
It's
oh,
a
yeah.
dude,
I've seen those.
And he records conversations that he has with his kid, and then acts them out. It's like some like sketch comedy no name that we have not heard of, at least I hadn't, acting out the conversations that he has with his kids. The episode I watched was called The Pants, and it's just him trying to get his two-year-old. So it's he's like 30, and he's acting it out with another 30-year-old guy playing the role of his two-year-old son. And it's really funny. It's like, okay, buddy, we need to put these pants on. No, I want to read a book. Okay, what book do you want to read? No, I will read it. And he like tells him this random two-year-old story. And yeah, it's just really funny. It's like, I'm not going to wear the pants. They have a tag. It hurts me. It's like very true to life.
Nice.
Yes.
That sounds funny.
That was good.
That one's a winner.
This one is totally for Mike.
I'm ready. My body is ready.
What? There's a YouTube show called Guitar Moves, which is this guy, Matt Sweeney. Do you know who that is? I thought you might. He's like apparently famous guitar dude. He's been in a bunch of bands.
Maybe. I don't know. You'd have to name bands he was in, maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. I'll look him up.
Basically going around the country and recording like 15 or 20 minute YouTube shows with really good guitarists. So Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age, etc. St. Vincent, who are that band that I mentioned on the show a while ago. And essentially just sitting with another awesome guitar player and talking about their thoughts about the instrument, their specific playing techniques and weird like harmonic ways that they play the device, and just like basically guitar nerd wankery. But it was really, really cool. It's fun. It's really interesting to see like that deep of a discussion about the instrument from people who play it really well.
Yeah, he's like a session musician. He like plays on everybody else's shit. The only band that he's been in that I recognize is Zwan, that band that Billy Corgan brought together for one album in between Smashing Pumpkins stints. I didn't remember his name, but okay, that sounds cool.
Yeah, that one's good. It's really, I think there's like 6 or 7 episodes at this point. Each one's like 15, 20 minutes. Good stuff.
I watched the same coworker that I was talking about earlier. He actually just came by my office one day and said, here, you should watch this. And it's called The Lost Room. And it was a sci-fi channel original miniseries. So it's like 6 hours long. I think it was broken up into like 3 2-hour chunks, except on the DVD that I ripped it from, it was like 6 1-hour chunks. Anyway, so it's this show, it stars Peter Krause. I learned that his name is actually the guy from 6 Feet Under and Parenthood and Sports Night, and Juliana Margulies from ER. It's got Kevin Pollak in it. It's got Margaret Cho in it. It's got a bunch of interesting people. It was casted very interestingly. But so the conceit of the show is this guy, Peter Krause, comes into contact with this magical key, which when you put it into a lock and open it up, opens up into the lost room. It's like this hotel room that once you go into it, if you then exit it with the key, you can think about wherever you want to go and you will appear in that room. So it's essentially like a teleporting room that exists outside of time and space. And what he finds out is that this key, this magical key that opens up into this crazy room, actually ends up being one of many objects, they call them, which have special properties and do interesting things. Like this key opens into a crazy teleporting room, and there's like a comb that stops time for 10 seconds, or there's a pin which can microwave your whole body, leaving your clothes totally intact. Kind of just, I mean, they're, you know, just all kinds of different things like that. So he ends up getting embroiled in this crazy thing about finding out about these objects. His daughter accidentally goes into the room and then gets lost in this other reality, because when you close the door to the room and reopen it, it completely resets anything that's in it. Except these objects, which can't be destroyed and they can't be used in the room. And so he meets people that have objects. He finds out backstory about it and goes on this crazy adventure to get his daughter back, and learns about these objects and people who are looking for them and people who are spending their whole lives that would kill to get certain parts of them or to gather them all together because they think they have mystical properties. I don't know. The concept is really interesting, and I think it was explored well. And the you know, I mean, for a sci-fi show, I guess it's probably part of the course. I would not say the acting is exemplary or amazing, and that's probably what brings it down and makes it a little more B-movie-esque. But I would still recommend it because it's a really cool idea, and it was still fun to watch.
Cool.
So that was neat. And then I just wanted to plug two music things that are definitely only interested to me and maybe some listeners of the show. But Pearl Jam has a new album coming out, the first in like 3 or 4 years, Lightning Bolt, that comes out on October 15th. I'm super pumped about that because they had a 30-second preview of one of the songs on it, and it sounds pretty aggressive because they've done a lot. They've kind of softened a lot in their older years as they get married and have kids, and this sounds like they're trying to go more back towards their 90s grunge ways, which nice. I like. So I'm pumped about that. And also,
how many albums is this? At least a dozen?
Like the like 9th or 10th, okay. Something like that.
10?
No, see, they did that one first. They got that out of the way. And then another guy I've been following a long time, Joe Satriani, actually put out another album. Still putting shit out, man. Nice. Every few years, he puts out another solo album. I don't know why. I mean, I like it, and I like it more the more I listen to it, but it also just, it's just, he just keeps putting out the same shit over and over again. Like,
that's what he does.
His solo stuff is just, like, the first album I heard by him, Crystal Planet, back in, like, the mid-90s,
yeah.
like, blew my fucking mind, because yeah. I had never listened to instrumental rock before, and yeah. that was my intro. And that was definitely, like, one of, if not his best album ever.
Yeah.
And in general,
I'm partial to The Extremist, but
The Extremist yeah. is good. But and I went back to that one. Uh-huh. You know, I listened to everything before it, but since then, I don't know. He just, you know, he's just a guy. He just likes making albums. He's yeah. got enough money. He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to innovate.
He's got enough people who buy you know. Every album that like. Yeah. yeah, he's in that perfect zone where he's got his supporters, and they'll buy all the albums. And
yeah, yeah. he's set. I mean, it's good life. Good
I actually
life.
Learned about Joe Satriani from. A Sony commercial, like a Sony Walkman commercial.
Yeah, because Summer Song was his uh-huh. huge hit,
wah,
and that was
wah,
the song.
Wah,
yep.
Wah, 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 wah.
That is yeah. probably the only time anyone has ever known that he existed, except maybe when he sued Coldplay a couple years ago.
Right,
because
that's right.
their song, Living, I don't know, whatever the hell that song was, yeah. Had like a similar chord progression to one of his songs. Yeah. Which,
did he win?
No, I think they ended up settling out of court or something
sure.
like that. Yeah.
That means he won.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of bullshit, and I think that was lame. I have no idea why he sued them, because I don't know what... He didn't need the money. I don't understand that. That was very weird. Anyway, his new album, Unstoppable Momentum, I don't know why he called it that, because that makes it seem like it's fucking insane, but it's really not. It's just kind of the more of the same, but it's still got some good tracks on it. So if you like Joe Satriani, you should check it out. And oh, and one thing I've been watching recently on YouTube, speaking of YouTube series... I'd never heard about this before, but there was a story recently because one of the guys from it left. It's called Game Grumps.
Hey, I'm Grumps. I'm not so Grump. And we're the Game Grumps.
And it's basically a bunch of dudes that make YouTube videos, but the Game Grumps series is basically a Let's Play where they play old video games, and they just, it's like two of them, and they just talk about it, and they make jokes, and they basically, it's like getting together and listening to two guys who just will say anything that comes to their mind, stream of consciousness, make jokes, go off on tangents, make themselves crack up like the whole time while they're playing old video games, making fun of the game, mm-hmm. you know, relaying random stories about stuff. I don't know. I find them pretty hilarious. Like it doesn't really matter which game they're playing. Like they're just two funny guys that sit and play video games. But one of the main dudes who goes by the online name of JonTron has left that group. And apparently super hardcore fans are like, fucking bullshit, I can't believe he left. Like, I just bought merch with him on it, and Game Grumps is Aaron and John, and the new guy, he'll never be as good, and what the fuck, and,
people
you know,
get attached to stuff.
Well, because their channel has well over a million views, like, they're popular, you yep. know, they're not nobodies.
That happened when Joel left MST3K.
Right. Right.
And Mike came in, and people said, this show will never be the same.
I was actually kind of mad about that. I really like Joel, but I don't really watch that show much, so I didn't get that.
I have every episode on DVD if you want them.
Yeah. I want to watch more Riff Tracks of anything.
Yes, we should watch Riff Tracks.
That's what I want to do.
For sure.
Of movies that we've seen that we agree are bad.
Yes, of course.
Or even that we think are good. Again,
as long as we've seen them once. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Any other media games for you? Are we moving on to games?
Games. Okay,
let's do
cool.
games. All right, game. Chaz, what have you been playing?
The only game that I played this week was the Walking Dead 400 Days
yes.
DLC, which came out.
Good stuff.
Which I just finished tonight before I came over. And oh, actually, real before that, Tetris came out for Android. The good
say,
one.
That's been
the
out newest, for a long time now.
The newest, goodest one. The one it's actually the one touch version that I talked about on like episode 2 or 3 of this show.
Right.
So it's been a while. But yeah, so that's out, whatever. Yeah, so Walking Dead. That game is good. It's more Walking Dead. It's an interesting device. We should wait to talk about it in detail until Josh has played it. But yeah, I thought that it was yeah, I don't want to say too much about it because Josh hasn't played it. So I don't want to color his experience.
That's true. You don't even want to say whether you enjoyed it or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Except you should play it and you already know that.
It's definitely worth playing, yes.
And Josh is headbutting his microphone. I'm not sure what that means, but...
Would you agree,
He's
Mike?
Very tired.
Worth playing?
Definitely.
Okay.
Like, it was weird. Like, I definitely don't jump at DLC, like, right away. Like,
yeah, weirdo.
For any game. So this was very... I don't know why this one just seemed like, whatever, I'll pay whatever you're selling it for. And
yeah,
I bought
it. Yeah, it was $5, and then it was $2.50 like 2 days after release.
Yeah. It was... Well, it's worth $10. I don't know. I thought it was... It was like an episode of the show in length, but broken up over 5 parts.
I did not know that it was DLC. So I bought it from Steam, and then it was not in my Steam list of... installed games.
You have
like,
to install
the
original
fuck?
For it to
no,
show
no,
up.
I had that installed, oh. But it doesn't show up as
right.
The Walking Dead 400 Days. It's yeah. just The Walking Dead. I didn't realize like, oh, you just run Walking Dead and it's part of it.
It right. is a slightly confusing
yeah.
experience.
I was confused.
I thought it
too.
Was its own little mini game. And so I spent like a long time troubleshooting Steam. I'm like going through my purchase history and like, yeah, it's been purchased and like checking my credit card receipts and whatever. And I couldn't figure out why it wasn't like downloading. I was also downloading 10 million other things because I like open Steam so rarely that you know it always wants to download 50 million things when that happens. So
maybe it would have been better if you bought it through the game, through the Walking Dead game, like in a store, like a mini store. Then you would.
Well,
have
I
been
didn't like that's the problem. I didn't know it was part of the Walking Dead. I thought
right.
it was its own executable.
Right. I know, and that's what I'm saying is that buying it through Steam separately was the confusing part.
But I never would have started Walking Dead in order to play it. Because I didn't know it was part of Walking Dead. So I never would have gone into Walking Dead to buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was good.
It was confusing.
I mean, it was
pop
a thing.
Up. Instead, like when you buy it, it doesn't go, I'm installing like normal games do.
Right.
It goes, okay, you bought it.
Yeah.
And it's a little confusing pop-up. Like it should have said.
I didn't even really
start up Walking
that.
Dead
I just,
and
like,
go
clicked,
to
okay.
X.
It
should have like immediately taken you to the Walking Dead in your library and said, here it is, DLC for this.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if you just search for it within Steam, you search for Walking Dead 400 games and it comes 400 days. It comes up with its own like game page
right.
that looks just like any other game page. It doesn't make it apparent on there that it's DLC. Anyway, that was my issue, but
yeah.
It was just a little confusing.
All right. So we'll table that. Anything else?
You know, in Britain, we'll table that means the opposite of what it means in the U.S.
It means let's talk about this now.
We need to discuss this right away.
Isn't that the same thing with moot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moot originally
fucking
meant
America,
debatable.
Man. We just screw up Britain. Yeah. Shit.
Moot means debatable?
Yeah. The original meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
English, man.
Language, yo.
What'd you play, Mike?
So I played 400 Days, Walking Dead. Not sure if you heard about that.
What's this?
So I've also been playing, I mentioned this in the chat, Maximus on iOS. I think it's free, so if you want to just want to check it out, or maybe it was only free that day. It's basically a one-player Castle Crashers with touch. It's actually really well done, and despite having on-screen controls, even on an iPhone, it still works out well. Like it doesn't need ultra precision, so it works. And you just tap where you want the guy to go.
And do you tap the dude you want to attack?
No, you hit attack, and if you're in front of him, you hit him.
You hit it. You hit
it's not like Diablo where you
the...
click on the thing. You hit a button, an on-screen button to punch, and he punches in front of him.
So it's not like two thumbs? You use the same finger?
Yeah, I mean, I think if I'm holding it, like I'll use one thumb to navigate him around the screen, and there'll be like a hit button on the bottom right, and I'll tap that.
Okay.
Yeah. But the production value seemed good. It even seems like it's sort of drawn similar to the Castle Crashers guys. Uh-huh. Like, it has that same kind of cartoonish
style
motif. It's got some humor.
It wasn't made by Behemoth, right?
No, it wasn't made by them. But it almost could have been like a side project. It's pretty cool. And then, yes, I have the new Deus Ex, The Fall, which I haven't tried out yet. And you already mentioned the Rime de Capasolo. So that's all the games I've actually played.
So there's a new Android game called Fireball SE by Radian Games.
Mm-hmm. As in Special Edition?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's either called Fireball Edition, or it's called Fireball SE, like, depending on where you
Fireballs.
Look. And it's basically exactly pacifism mode from Geometry Wars 2, except on your phone with one-touch control that's actually quite good, or your tablet or whatever. And it's almost exactly that. It's, mm-hmm. like, barely not that. And it's very good, because that's, like, my favorite thing.
And it works, like, on a touchscreen with that kind of precise needed movement.
It takes a little getting used to, but the control has enough, like, options and stuff that it is exactly what I described was theoretically possible with one of those dynamic analog sticks.
Or wherever you press.
Like, a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. First of all, obviously, wherever you press is where the stick starts.
Right.
But then when you move down, the stick trails behind you a little bit. So if you then change direction to the right, you're not going like down right. You're going like straight right, because you dragged the stick behind you. Hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if you change direction to left, you only have to go a tiny bit left. You don't have to go like way far left wherever you put your thumb
back
down.
To the center and then left.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty brilliant. Okay, I'll let you try it real fast right now. Right after.
Cool.
It's like a dollar or something. And I played a lot of the Final Fantasy 14 beta, which was the Final Beta 3, and it launches for reals like in a month, and there's a hiatus in between. And
A Realm Reborn.
Yes. I played a shit ton of this. I've tried like every class up to level 15 or 20, because you could like auto level. Once I discovered that, I was like, oh shit, yeah, I'm trying every class auto level to 15. It is goddamn polished. It is like a really, really good, totally old school MMO.
Old school like WoW or old school like EverQuest?
Closer to EverQuest.
Wow.
And why is that good?
Well, it takes all the lessons from all the new things. Like, it adds a bunch of the WoW lessons. And it's absurdly polished. The music is phenomenal, Nobuo. The sound is great. The graphics are good and cute, and the environments are cool. The magic is like super colorful, ridiculous. The UI is really outstanding. The UI works really well with either a controller or a keyboard and mouse. The only thing lacking there is the map is kind of weird. It's got like everything that other MMOs don't have until a year after launch. Mm-hmm. Like the auto group finder for dungeons is really, really perfect. Like, just you instantly get groups cross server for dungeons. There's like three dungeons between level 15 and 20. There's the crafting system is friggin' ridiculous and complicated and interesting with little mini games. Apparently, like Star Wars Galaxies, which was like one thing that people praised that game for. It has a shit ton of content. It's like, but it's a slow. In MMO terms, the global cooldown is 2.5 seconds
for everything.
The global cooldown. Like, you only hit abilities once every 2.5 seconds, basically. Instead of WoW, which is like 1.5, or Rift, which is like 1 second or something like that. I'm not positive about those numbers, but just, you know, they're a lot faster. A lot of other MMOs are a lot faster. But all the recent MMOs are going action-y. Like, Terra and Neverwinter and Guild Wars 2, they're all like action-y hybrid. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by old school is like it's
more strategy than action.
It's a number bar, choosing which ability to use in a slow-paced kind of action. But because of that, it's like really strategic, and like you have fewer abilities and you're using them less often, but you still have to play really well. And I really like that pace because tanking is fucking fun. It like it was in MMOs I played 10 years ago or whatever. Like I liked tanking in the more frantic MMOs, but it is like solid and fun in this game. And healing is solid and fun in this game. Like four-man parties seem like way less frantic than five-man, and also the pace and like just... It's fucking fun. I love it. I'm going to play it.
Nice.
But I can definitely not sell a lot of people on it. You know what I mean? Like, it is extremely easy, and they totally try to handhold noobs for the first 15 levels. There's a lot of tutorials and stuff, like, fully implemented, like, you know, really, really easy and totally handholding. And then all of a sudden at 15, if you were playing with a friend the whole time or a partner or whatever, and all of a sudden at level 15 you're forced to do this solo quest that's effing hard if you're a healer or a black mage even, and then all of a sudden you're forced to do like four-man groups, so it does some dumb things in terms of like pushing people away. Mm-hmm. Even though, so they're mainly going towards their core niche audience, like Satriani, like just get those people back. Mm-hmm. And they can make some money if they please those people. That's mm-hmm. who they're really going after. But they did seem like they were also trying pretty hard to get noobs, and then they just push them away. It's weird.
Maybe they think noobs wouldn't even make it that far. I mean, how long does it take to go from 1 to 15?
It's actually like way faster now. It's I don't feel like
noobs would be interested at all in Final Fantasy as a franchise, right? Isn't it only fairly like older players who even know of or think of that as a
beloved? Well, I say new
gaming.
But what I mean,
yeah, I think
is
most people wouldn't even know FF14 existed.
Yeah.
I say new, but I mean like more casual player.
Uh-huh.
I mean, MMOs have always been a whole nother level of hardcore. Yeah. Which is why you've never played any of them, right?
Yeah.
But you could still play a 60-hour game. Uh-huh. You'll still play like a long RPG here and there.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of Final Fantasy fans from all the previous Final Fantasies that have never played MMOs, and I think that's what I mean by pulling in a new audience.
People new to MMOs.
Yeah, new to MMOs. Mm-hmm. They try to get a lot of those people in handhold at the beginning, but then they just push them away, I think. So it's weird. It's going to have a niche audience. I think it's going to make them some money with, because I think it's definitely good enough to please a handful of people. But
a quick side note, because you mentioned Nobuo, besides being the composer for most of the Final Fantasies and in a rock band that plays Final Fantasy music called the Black Mages, which is pretty awesome, he's the next thing that he's doing is a freaking ebook. He's making an ebook that he's also writing music for, so it's like some kind of hybrid thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when that's coming out, but he's writing it, and I don't know, probably someone else is illustrating it, and he's gonna write music for it.
Huh.
So freaking Nobuo Uematsu, man, that guy is crazy.
That guy's
awesome.
Rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He kind of looks like a Mr. Miyagi kind of character, if you've ever seen him.
Racist. He
gives that awesome, lovely old Asian guy vibe.
Totally racist.
That you want to hang out with and learn karate from.
Stop being racist. God damn.
Why are you so anti-Miyagi? All right, that's all I had to say about that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that.
I forgot about...
For our listeners.
A book... Do we have more games to talk about? I forgot about
that. I don't. I'm done. I have nothing. I'm just looking at
a
blank screen.
We don't even have a topic. We have shit. All
right, cool. Yeah, it was a short one. Let me mention this book. The Humble eBook Bundle dropped. And even though I don't really like reading books on digital devices, I picked it up. It's got a bunch of good stuff. A couple books that I already read.
Yeah, which one should I read out of all of them? Which is the best?
The one that I started with is Bone Shaker. And it's pretty fun so far.
But you've read the others, others.
So the Lois Bujold one is good, and I have all of those. If you read that one, you like it. I have every single Miles novel. So there are like 15 of them.
That's like the first in a series?
Yeah. I don't know if it's the very first, but it's. I think it's early on.
It's a good one to start with?
I don't... Like I said, there are like literally 15 of those books, and I don't even remember which one that one is. So you can look at it.
That seems... Okay.
But they're all pretty... It's one of those things where it's like... It's a show that you can kind of hop into anywhere.
It's not critical that
it's not critical to get them in a serious order. So yeah, if you definitely read that, if you read that one and like it, then you can go all the way through.
What's that one called?
That was the one by Lois McMaster Bujold.
Bujold, right? Yeah, okay, yeah. I remember that name.
The one that I jumped into. So I got this because it had like three different either Hugo winners or nominees, and so for $8, it's like a ridiculous steal to get. I just pay $10 for every Humble Bundle.
Yes, it was a pretty obvious buy.
Yeah. But I'm reading Boneshaker by Sherry Priest, which I'll just say 1880s alternate U.S. history. Civil War is still going on. It's been going on for like 15 years. Steampunk zombies. If that sounds good.
It had to be zombies, huh?
You will enjoy this book.
Enough with the zombies. It should be robot zombies.
You're the one who just, like, day one bought 400 Days DLC. What
yeah,
the fuck,
Yeah, but that doesn't
Holmes?
Mean that zombies haven't been played out.
What the fuck, Holmes? It's exactly what it means. It's
Dude,
exactly
you're so binary. You're so binary just because The Walking Dead is
just
great.
Because you can't wait for more zombie content.
I couldn't wait for more Walking Dead content.
Zombie content isn't completely over. Like, yes. That's what
I'm just
means.
Saying. Like, everybody does zombies. It's a very popular topic. It doesn't necessarily need to be done over and over again. I'm just saying.
But if it's good, then you want it.
Robot zombies. Right.
Yeah.
Robot zombies.
Steampunk.
That's what I want.
Steampunk zombies.
Steampunk.
All right.
Yeah.
That's okay.
The zombies aren't steampunks. The zombies are zombies. But there's also steampunk equipment.
The movie,
available.
The romantic comedy about
Warm
the zombie.
Bodies.
That was a good angle.
You liked it?
Well, no, I'm just... Well, the idea of that is good. Like, that needs to be explored. I'm just saying, throwing fucking zombies into your shit doesn't make it better necessarily. You know?
Just a spoonful of zombies.
Like, all right, we get it. Zombies are out there, and you're afraid of them.
Speaking of zombies, I also finished watching the playthrough of The Last of Us.
There you go. Now you finished it.
So that's really good.
How about that? So would you recommend that Let's Play?
Yeah, the Let's Play I watched was the one by Day 9, and it's really good. He's just funny and fun. It's, as Mike was talking about, he's an interesting cat and just a funny guy and has a bunch of fun stories about, whatever, playing competitive esports as a kid and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's just about finding, like, the personalities. They can do whatever they want, and you'll want to listen.
Except in this case, he was watching Walking Dead or playing it, and I basically feel like I just kind of took the interactive out of interactive fiction for that one because it is very linear and the story that happens is a story that happens. You don't really affect it in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's anyway, that game is pretty serious, pretty good. We should talk about it once you either watch or play it.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'll probably just watch it.
Yeah, do it.
But yeah, it was funny because Dave said in the chat he's been playing it and he was actually slightly annoyed when he had to play the game to get to the next non-interactive part, like, which, I don't know, I found that interesting.
There were definitely some parts that seemed long and annoying, like overly long. Same complaint I've raised about some other games.
Yeah.
Just like...
I'm sure particularly watching it, though, you could get more annoyed at the gameplay than...
Yeah,
than
I'm sure it would be...
Because you don't get to control
stressful
it.
And exciting to do it.
You know, like if I die 10 times in a row trying something... I'm sure that's going to bore you sooner than it's going to bore me.
Yeah.
I'm going to want to keep trying, you know?
Yeah, fair point.
But yes, I can relate to that feeling
mm-hmm.
If I really just want to get through something for the story. For example, Enslaved, I totally would have watched that if it was a movie. I still could go back and watch a playthrough of that. I did not want to play that. I put it down real fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did not like the gameplay.
It had zombies in it.
I think there were robot zombies in that.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's new. All right. Well, is that all the stuff we have to talk about?
Yeah.
Going to make a sub 2-hour show? Sweet. All right. Well, this has been...
We have time to see Pacific Rim.
This has been the Escort Mission. Thank you for joining us. Please go to our website and check out the other posts about the other episodes we've done. Listen to the back episodes. Go to our Amazon link, which is also there, and buy stuff. You can help out the show a little bit. We're also on all the major social media networks where we update when there are new episodes. And occasionally when I'm bored, I write something else on the Twitter account because I'm there and I'm like, I should put something here. And also on iTunes, if you could review us, that's always nice and helps us be seen. I mean, honestly, we probably need like 10,000 reviews to even be noticed by Apple, but still, you could help us get there. I guess that's it. We're out.
Later.
Late.
All right.